So good morning. Look at the good-looking sound person we have this morning. And I'm not talking about James because he got called into work. Our sound person's name is Linda. My wife. Praise God. Are you the person who called this morning?
Yeah.
Welcome. What's your name?
Nancy.
Nancy, welcome to Gateway. Nancy, I hope you feel right at home and you feel welcome. Everyone say hi, Nancy. Do you know what, Nancy? Everything I ever learned in Bible college tells us we're not supposed to do that. I can't stop. Someone makes eye contact with me and my brain, we're friends. You know, like who wrote those books? Like, what are you supposed to do? Just kind of like, never talk. We got to get past just having coffee, you know, get to the heart of things. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." In my life application notes, how many of you read the life application Bible here? Okay, if you don't, maybe you should invest in one because they're just tremendous, tremendous Bibles. If you can't afford one, let me know. I'll buy you one, okay? But it's so good. It's so good. But the notes underneath, it says this, and I really like the notes for this verse. It says, what did Paul mean when he said our bodies belong to God? Many people say they have the right to do whatever they want with their bodies. Although they think that this is freedom, they are really enslaved to their own desires. Can you relate to that, anyone here? When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit fills us and lives in us. Therefore, we no longer own our bodies. Bought at a price refers to Christ's death, freed us from sin, but it also obligates us to His service. If you live in a building owned by someone, you try not to violate the building's rules. Because your body belongs to God, you must not violate the standards by living. There's standards by living. You know, we look at a verse in the Bible and it says, "This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't get drunk on wine that leads to debauchery." And we were sharing this in our Connect group this morning. And so many people get hung up on wine. I look at it like this. Okay, my default is positive. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. So I'm thinking, like, what happens is that's freedom. Why would I think about that? Like, why do we spend time talking about that? I look at all the possibilities that are ahead of me. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the part that I want to focus on. What are the possibilities? What can I do? What can God do through me that in the natural I could never do by myself? That's what I focus on. Someone comes and says, well, what do you think about that scripture that says this and this and this? I don't really care. Okay? Like, what I want to know is what's God doing in your life? What are your dreams? What are your hopes? What are the visions? What's happening in your life? And when we become Christian, the Holy Spirit fills us and lives within us. So, good morning. Today, I want to piggyback on what we did last week because some of you weren't here. It was very powerful what we did here last week. Would you agree? How many of you were here last week? Did you like that? Yeah. It was good. It was creative. It was awesome. It was using the body of Christ. And wasn't it wonderful the way we presented the presence of God to you? And I hope to do more illustrative messages in the future. There's so much gifting and so much talent and so many awesome people that we could work together with where we sat on Saturday and we stood with the coffee table from my office and we just sat around and we shared and we talked and we built relationships. We went past just having coffee with each other to actually sharing with each other's hearts, and it was a thing of beauty. It was beautiful. And the verse came to me last week, and it was this, the one I just read. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Like, that hit me so much last week. And so what happened was, when this verse came to me, the idea came to me. And what I thought was, I thought, oh my goodness. I said, I wrote it all down. It was like about this long in a text. And I wrote it down, and I visualized that we would have a dining room set up over here. And I didn't know who was going to be in the dining room, and then we would have a living room set up over here, and I'm all visualizing this because I see things in pictures. And then what happened was we were going to invite people over for breakfast before the congregation, and we were going to have real food. We were going to have muffins, and we were going to have fruit, and we were going to have orange juice, and then I thought, oh, you know what we should do is we should have gifts for our neighbors, who you are the neighbors. This is our house. And so we went and we bought 10 $5 gift cards at Tim Hortons, $5 each. And so we invited the guests come over, and they knocked on the door. They were early. I was still vacuuming the house, and in front of you, it was like, it was just crazy. And so we were in a panic because our guests were coming over, and we wanted the house to be in order. We wanted to be able to know, we wanted you to know that we were honoring you and we respected you. So we were busy cleaning and everything. And then you came in, and Randy came over for breakfast, and Jen came over for breakfast, and Kathy came over for breakfast. She's in Soups On for kitchen or missions this morning, so you go after service and you thank her and have some soup and give to missions. And so then we sat down in front of you. It's a terrible thing to do, you know, to have a table set up with muffins and everything before a congregation. And so we're sitting here, we're eating and everything like this. And they were saying, and part of the script was they were going to say to me, they were going to say, thank you so much for honoring us, for inviting us over to your house. What a thing of beauty that is. You know, you showed so much respect for coming over. Look at all the work that you did in preparation for that. So we ate, and we gracefully thanked them for that. And we said, the reason why we did it is because you're so important. Each of you is so, so important that... And I said, well, you know what? Now that we're finished eating, why don't we go into the living room? But before we go into the living room, would you be able to go and do me a favor and go and bless my neighbors? And I said, so they all did, and I could hear. So some went to this part of the street, and some went to this part of the street, and some went to this part of the street, and I could hear. And, you know, I'm already in the living room, but I could hear. Hi, are you Ken and Linda's neighbors? We just wanted to come over and bless you. So it's an extension of hospitality that they received coming in. It was already going out from our house to hospitality to bless the neighbors. Are you following? Okay. And then we sat in the living room here, and I said to them, it was so nice. We put Randy in a nice wingback chair, and you know, the king, he was just... So we just put him in a place of honor, nice chair, you know. I've known him forever, so I thought, you know what, buddy, you get the wingback chair in our house, you know. It's nice, you know. How many of you have a chair in your house that you would never share with somebody because it's your chair? Right. Don't do that. That's bad hospitality. And it's not just your company that comes over. If my wife wants to sit in the chair that I normally sit in, go sit in it. Right? Never mind. You're all looking at each other now. Focus. So we sat in the living room over here, and I asked the question, it was this. I said, I know that Christ lives in our hearts. However, if we were to invite him here this morning to join us, to be part of this family, the Gateway family, what would that look like? And so we started to share. And we went around, and everyone gave little stories or verses or whatever. And it was amazing. And it was practicing hospitality, so not only in our house, but at a corporate level. Us as a church, and it was amazing. And then, bam, the verse came, and I said, "You know what? Now I want to talk about. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit?" So we started off hospitality in my house, then we came corporately to the church, all along inviting Jesus. And then we went from there, which is more personal, okay? It's not corporate as much. It's that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, yes, we all are, but that is singular, okay? So we're talking individually. And so what does that mean? We talked about what it would mean, hospitality, of inviting the Spirit into this house, into this temple. And it was very, very powerful. And it was an illustrative message because a verse like this in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, do you not know? We have quoted that over and over again, and some people have used it abusively. It's like, you know, if they don't like what they're hearing, they say, don't you know that your body is death? And, you know, so we're joking, but it's been used manipulatively. Did I say that right? But what it is, it's like when we're very, like when we're honestly serious about that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, oh my goodness, that Christ died on the cross and he promised that he would send another, a comforter, and that comforter would take up residence within us, and the same anointing and the same blessing that Jesus carried would be ours to carry as well. And then when we hear a song like the last one that we heard, oh my goodness, like how can that not shake you to the core of who you are and say, Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Okay, help me, Lord, not to be so selfish and self-serving and make everything about me. You know, I know the wealthiest people, and you know what? They live very, very humbly. And then there's people like me who grew up in a not so great neighborhood. And when I was in my earlier years, I just strived to have things. And when I found out that those things didn't make me happy, Jesus came into my life. And you know what? Jesus is everything. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So that's piggybacking on what had happened. And so God blesses his servants with the Spirit. Okay? Are you a servant of the Most High here this morning? He blesses his servants with his Spirit. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1, it says this. Here is my servant who I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my Spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. See, this morning, you hear me preach all the time, right? You hear me preach all the time. And you hear me say things, and some things are repetitive and stuff like this. And, you know, sometimes I struggle because, you know, I think, oh, man, I seem to say the same things over and over again. But I got to tell you something. What I'm going to say right now, I'm very, very passionate about it. And I never get tired of it. God is always searching for individuals who thankfully subject themselves to do his will. Okay? Always. Always. And in particular, he chose Adam and the nation of Israel for the task. And after he placed him in the garden to carry out the desires and the purposes, instead Adam disobeyed and Israel was blind and deaf to what God wanted. And we're still paying the consequences of that today. And therefore, the Lord looked for someone else who would work for him out of love and honor and obedience. And so Isaiah prophesies in that verse I just read of a servant who honors and obeys God. So who is this amazing servant I'm talking about? Jesus. Amen. In Matthew 12 and 18 it says, here is my servant who I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my Spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. Hear me, folks, this morning, please. Will you hear me? This is truly wonderful and important, what I just said. By application, everyone who receives the Spirit and serves the Lord will receive the same honor and benefits that was put upon Jesus. How many of you have felt disrespected in your life? Have you ever felt disrespected over here? Okay. Have you ever felt dishonored in your life? And when you walk with the Lord, oh my goodness, the same benefits, the same honor that God put upon Jesus, they're ours as well. And I thank God. I have a little thing in my, I have an app called Things. And one of my things to do every day is, and it repeats every day at 10 o'clock, I think I've told you this, there was a devotional last year from Jesus Calling. How many of you ever looked at that devotional, Jesus Calling? And the title of it was Thank Me Frequently. And every morning at 10 o'clock, because by 10 o'clock I know that what kind of a day it's going to be, and all of a sudden I'll get ding, 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 ding. And I look and it says, thank me frequently. And every day, some days I forget, but some days I just stop and I say, thank you, Lord. You know what I mean, Lord? I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And the first benefit is God upholds you so that you will succeed and not fail. You know how many people I know that find their identity in their negative past and not in their present, in the present glory that God has and the magnificent future? But they find their identity in their past. Wow. If that was me, I couldn't be your pastor. How many of you have things that are painful? You know, how many things are painful? Could you imagine all those things? I'm so proud of you guys. You know, you've come a long way in a couple of years in discipleship class every morning with me on Sunday mornings. But some of the stuff, if that's where you found your identity, we'd have to put you, you know, I don't know what we would do with you. God is good. So the first benefit of God is that he upholds you to succeed and not to fail. Okay? I don't get up in the day thinking I'm going to fail. And it's not because I'm a positive thinker, but I am a positive thinker. And I think motivational books are okay to read too. But I get up thinking I'm going to succeed. I'm not going to fail. Secondly, he chooses you and he showers his favor and his affections all over you. All over you. Do you sense it? You know, it's like taking a shower. How many of you love? You know what I would love to do? I'd love to own a property where I had an outside shower with no neighbors. And I would go out every morning and I would take a shower and I'd look up at the sky and the sun coming just outside and be like, you know, woo, doo, 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 you know. And I'd be, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful shower that I could praise your name. Seems silly, doesn't it? It's not silly. He showers us with favor and affection. And third, he delights in making you the apple of his eye. Okay, he delights in that. Think about that. Our God, like if you really get into the scripture, right, and you allow the Spirit of God to speak to you so that you could understand the character of the Father, the attributes of the Father, who he is and everything, and you follow that scarlet thread of redemption that runs through the Bible, and the scarlet thread of redemption is the blood of Jesus that flows right through the whole Bible. And when you understand that and you get accosted at certain points when you're reading because the Holy Spirit is just speaking into you, and you realize in the Scripture, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that you are the apple of his eyes. Oh my goodness. So, you know, you're going to go in, some people are going to come into this church and they're going to look and they're going to say, so what is it with all these people? They're always crying and you know, they're too happy and they're waving flags and they're dancing. Oh, it must be a Pentecostal church. Oh, give it up. It's like maybe that it's just because the Lord has done something so deep within our spirits that we can't help ourselves, that we just are so thankful that, you know what, I'm not ashamed that I would cry before you because I love him so much. And even this very week, the miracles that I have seen happen in people's lives because I had the opportunity maybe to work with him, not because I'm something special, but to be able to just speak into someone's life in that moment because Holy Spirit said, do it.
I don't know.
Telemarketer while I'm preaching. 877 number. 877 is telemarketer, right? On a Sunday. How dare you? No, I don't want any. See, that's wrong because that's an opportunity. Hello? Yes, it's Ken Jeffrey. You'll have to excuse me. Can I put you on speakerphone for a second? And can you hold on for about 10 minutes? That's when my message will be done because I'm a preacher at Gateway Church. So if you listen to the message for 10 minutes, I will listen to you 10 minutes. So if you could honor me with 10 minutes, I will honor you with 10 minutes. I just thought of that. That was like totally spontaneous. I did not know that was going to ring. He blesses you with His Spirit and He empowers you to do His will. The Lord delights when we yield to Him. The Holy Spirit indwells Christians. The Holy Spirit fills Christians. The Holy Spirit produces fruit sometimes that's another verse, Randy, you know. We talk, and we say it sarcastic, you know. Someone will say, well, your stinking attitude, there's no fruit of the Spirit in your life. Oh my goodness, like, well, how dare us? It's like when I was in Bible college, there was one guy, the young guys, they don't know him, but you know what, Jenna, you know what, they were talking once, you know, and we were in the tuck shop, the old tuck shop, and I heard this guy use the verse in Ephesians, you know, women submit. I almost killed him. Okay, not in front of the girls. I said, are you an idiot? Like I said, how dare you manipulate Scripture like that? And it's the same thing, like someone would say, well, if you were a real Christian, the fruit of the Spirit wouldn't show up in your life like that. How dare you? Like that is such, like, it just goes to show how shallow sometimes that we can be as Christians. The fruit of the Spirit? Oh my goodness. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the most, how many of you like fruit? Like, you know when it's fruit season, and it's just like, you know, next time you just bite into one of those apples or whatever it is, and just say, thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that the fruit of the Spirit in me is a lot sweeter than these strawberries or whatever it is in someone else's life. And then the gifts of the Spirit. For those of you who don't know where the gifts are, you can look in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. You can look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. You can look in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. And these are the abilities that every Christian is given by God. The purpose of these gifts are to glorify God. So the thing is, so I come over, and I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to get healed, okay? You're going to get spiritually, mentally, physically healed right this moment, okay? And I'm going to do it in front of all of these people, okay, right now, okay? And they're looking at a man taking out his anointing oil and anointing your head with oil. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I anoint you with oil and be healed in the name. They say that's nothing. If it's flowing, it's all. Giftings are given. It's all to bring glory to the Father. It's not to be given. It has nothing even to do with Him. Except that when He is healed, now He could stand up and He could say, I have been set free. I give glory to God. Amen. Amen. That's our Jesus. That's our Spirit. That's our God. Amen. So the description of a believer's body as a temple is not a figure of speech. Just like those verses that I just gave you, we're not to take them lightly. It's not a figure of speech. It's a reality. Okay? It's a reality. It's really honestly a reality. And Christ's Spirit dwells within believers and makes use of their bodies for kingdom purposes. Believers, therefore, honor God with your bodies. Okay? And whether that would be physically spiritually, mentally. We honor God with our bodies. So flee from anything that could be harmfully, that could potentially harm your relationship with Christ. Don't risk allowing sin to enter into your heart. Amen? Don't risk it. Your salvation is too precious to treat it carelessly. And so is the salvation of others. When I don't play right with my salvation, it's going to affect someone else. And I would hate to stand before the Lord one day, and because of my lack of commitment to the Lord, it affected you so that you don't get in either. And he says, it's because of you, Ken. You know what I mean? Fruit of the Spirit. You know, there's been times where I've not been polite with my wife. Years ago, there were times when I had some anger issues that I needed to deal with, and it was my way or the highway, you know, the way we're brought up, and I'm tough. You know what I mean? To just think that I would say something vile to my wife now breaks my heart. Okay? To think that I would say something to any of you that would be so hurtful, I wouldn't sleep that night. I'd have to come and say, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I heard the story of a guy, and we'll close on this because I know that you're probably getting very hungry for soup. But I heard of a guy who, and maybe some of you guys are like this, not you because you're a contractor, so you have all the tools, but I heard the story of a guy who never bothered to buy a screwdriver. Anyone relate? Okay. He had a couple of knives that he used instead, one larger, one smaller. And most of the things he needed to screw or unscrew, he could use, he could do quite well with the point of these knives. The problem was, of course, that it didn't do all the knives any good. The ends got bent, and they were harder to use for their proper purpose. Then one day, trying to unscrew a particular stubborn screw, the knife blade snapped in three places and cut his hand very, very badly. Moral of the story is that that's what could happen when you use something for the wrong purpose. Amen. And Paul asked the question in this chapter. He asked for the sixth time. Six times. Do you not know? Do you not know? He asked it six times in this chapter, indicating that the fact that the Corinthians should know, but apparently had missed or forgotten something. And the words, your body, do not refer to the corporate body in this scripture. The words, your body, refers to the believer's individual physical body. And Paul explained that each should view his body as the temple of the Holy Spirit who is living within them. So I'm going to end today the way we did last week by asking an important question. Is that okay? You ready? Everyone ready? Not a hard question, but it's a reflective question. Are you being a good steward of the temple? Are you being a good steward of the temple? Wow. Are you being a good steward? And I believe that song you sang is possible. How many of you believe it? The second question I close on this is this. What would it look like if you were a better steward of the temple? So, Father, I thank you this morning that we could gather in this house, that we could lift up your name, that we could worship you, that we could enter into a place that's safe, that's holy. Father, that we could be thankful. And that, Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to study it, put it together, deliver it, communicate it. And I pray right now that as your word has been preached this morning, that each temple within this congregation would receive it. And that, Lord, each of us, our walks would be more honest, deeper, richer. And that we would allow the blessings of God, the grace of God, to flow over us, our families, our communities, over this church. And Lord, use us, Lord, as it says in Isaiah, send me. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.